We want to thank you for tuning in to the Bible Version Controversy Explained, CD number 2. On this CD, we're going to continue to finish off with the New King James Bible and to continue to explain why it is untrustworthy. We're also going to be covering the New American Standard and various other different versions on this one. So make sure that you've also downloaded and burned to a CD part 1 of this sermon, the Bible Version Controversy Explained, CD edition number 1. So without further ado, we'll give you the rest of the Bible Version Controversy Explained on the Underground Christian Network. The New King James confuses people about salvation. In Hebrews 10:14, it replaces "are sanctified" with "are being sanctified," and it replaces "are saved" with "are being saved." In 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 2 Corinthians 2:15, the words "may believe" have been replaced with "may continue to believe." And in 1 John 5:13, the old straight and narrow of Matthew 7:14 becomes difficult. Is it really difficult to be saved? Is it so difficult to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Why are they taking so much stuff out, yet they're claiming this is a modern version of the old King James? As far as the New American Standard is concerned, how many of you knew that the co-founder of the New American Standard Version had renounced the New American Standard Version Bible? His name is Dr. Frank Logsdon. He's passed away now. But when he came out with the New American Standard Version, he really stood by the New American Standard until he went and looked into it. And when he did, he discovered there's major problems with this New American Standard. And he spent the whole rest of his life going around warning people not to use the New American Standard Version. And as you listen to this, I want you to hear him once again say that even back in the early days, the so-called scholars were still promoting the Westcott and Hort counterfeit manuscript and not letting them know about the Textus Receptus from which the King James Bible came from. You'll hear him talk about Dr. Lockman, who co-founded the New American Standard with him. And he's going to explain to you in his own words exactly what the deal is with the New American Standard and what his views are. I give you Dr. Frank Logsdon.
Back in the, when was it, 1956, 57, Mr. F. Dewey Lockman of the Lockman Foundation, one of the dearest friends we've ever had for 25 years, big man, some 300 pounds, snow white hair, one of the most terrific businessmen I've ever met. Always said he was like Nehemiah. He was building a wall, and you couldn't get in his way. When he had got his mind on something, he went right to it. Couldn't be daunted. Never saw anything like it. Most unusual man. Very unusual. Spent weeks and weeks and weeks in their home. Real close friends of the family. Well, he discovered that the copyright was just as loose as a fumbled ball on a football field. Nobody wanted it. The publishers didn't want it. Who wanted it? Nobody wanted it. Didn't get anywhere. Mr. Lockman got in touch with me and said, would you and Ann come out and spend some weeks with us, and we'll work on a feasibility report. I can pick up the copyright to the 1901 if it seems advisable. Well, up till that time, I thought the Westcott and Hort was the text. You're intelligent if you believe in the Westcott and Hort. Some of the finest people in the world believe in that Greek text. The finest leaders we have today. You'd be surprised. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. They haven't gone into it just as I hadn't gone into it, just taking for granted. But at any rate, we went out. We started on a feasibility report, and I encouraged him to go ahead with it. I'm afraid I'm in trouble with the Lord. I encouraged him to go ahead with it. We laid the groundwork. I wrote the format. I helped to interview some of the translators. I sat with the translators. I wrote the preface. When you see the New American Standard, they're my words. Well, when I got my copy, I got one of the 50 deluxe copies that were printed. Mine was number 7, blue, light blue cover. But it was rather big, and I couldn't carry it with me. And I never really looked at it. I just took for granted it was done as we started it, you know, until some of my friends across the country began to learn that I had some part in it, and they started saying, what about this? What about this? Especially Dr. David Otis Fuller in Grand Rapids. I've known him for 35 years, and he'd say, he always called me Frank, I called him Duke. He said, Frank, what about this? You had part in it. What about this? What about this? Well, first of all, now, wait a minute. Let's don't go overboard. Let's don't be too critical. You know how you justify yourself the last minute. I got to the place. I said to Ann, I'm in trouble. I can't refute these arguments. It's wrong. It's terribly wrong. It is frightfully wrong. And what am I going to do about it? Well, I went through heart search, some real soul searching for about 4 months. I don't know. I think about 4 months. And I sat down and wrote the most difficult letter of my life, I think. And I wrote to my friend Dewey, and I said, Dewey, I don't want to add to your problems. Lost his wife some 3 years ago. I was there for the funeral. The doctor had made a mistake in operating on the cataract. He lost the sight of one eye and then had to have an operation on the other. Had a slight heart attack, had sugar diabetes. Man, 74 years of age. But I wrote and said, I can no longer ignore these criticisms I'm hearing, and I can't refute them. The only thing I can do, and dear brother, I have nothing against you, and I can witness at the judgment seat of Christ and before men wherever I go that you were 100% sincere. He's not a translator. He's not schooled in language or anything. He's just a businessman. He did the promoting. He had the money. He did the promoting. So I said, he did it conscientiously. He wanted absolutely right. He thought it was right. I guess nobody pointed out some of these things to him when it was finished. But nevertheless, I said, I must, under God, renounce every attachment to the New American Standard. I have a copy of the letter. In fact, I have his letter. Showed it to some people. The Robert saw it. Mike saw it. Stating that he was bowled over, that he was shocked beyond words. So that's putting it mildly, but he said, I'll write you in a few weeks.
Now, how many of you knew that the co-founder of the New American Standard Version had renounced it? How many ministers have stood up on their pulpits and warned Christians not to use the New American Standard? This man, in his message, if you want to hear the entire message, you can hear the entire message at the Underground Christian Network at Musical Gardens, with an S at the end, musicalgardens.sermonaudio.com at the Underground Christian Network. You'll find a sermon under the title of Rejecting the New American Standard. This is an eye-opening investigation. But this information today is covered up. When you contact the people who are in charge of the New American Standard today, they either try to downplay Dr. Logsdon's position there, or they say they don't know the man at all. It's amazing. As I wrote in my little note there at my Underground Christian Network link, I guess when you're making millions of dollars a year, it sort of clouds the memory a little bit. They don't want to stop that money from coming in, you see. Another thing these new Bibles have behind them is some very powerful people that should know better. They should know. Nonetheless, they stand up and they promote these counterfeit Bibles, and I'm left scratching my head saying, for goodness sakes, if me, a nickel and dimer, bottom of the totem pole, guy that doesn't even log on radar, can figure this out, how come a big name like Chuck Swindoll can't figure it out? I heard recently that he was going to be doing a message on the Bible, so I decided to tune in and listen. And what he said, I just couldn't believe it. Now, I'm not here to try to attack anybody, but he's one of the biggest names out there that uses the new versions. Him and Charles Stanley and various others uses these other Bibles, and they have these big names behind them. But this particular message I was listening to by Pastor Chuck Swindoll really got my attention, so I decided to record a small segment of it and let you hear what he had to say based on what you just heard from Dr. Logsdon about the New American Standard and how wrong in doctrine and various things the New American Standard is. Take a listen to what Pastor Chuck Swindoll has to say.
Second, we can read it. We can read God's Word. It's in our language. It's in a number of different versions and paraphrases. Don't get caught up in the fight over which version is the only one. Don't let yourself go there. Some are better than others. You will form the best opinions. The more studious and careful you become, you will find which version works best for you. I use the New American Standard Version, Expanded Edition, the Ryrie Study Bible. It just works well for me. It's got a nice set of maps in the back when I get the sections that I'm reading that mention places. And if you've got a Bible that doesn't have maps, you need another Bible. You need a serious Bible. When you're little, you had Bibles with pictures in them. Now that you're grown up, you don't need pictures. You need maps. You need study aids. If you're still carrying a Bible with pictures in them, it's okay. Just put it on a shelf and Talk about how that was a wonderful Bible when you were a kid, but now you've gotten a study Bible or one with large enough print for you to be able to enjoy it without having to extend your arm another yard. So get a Bible you can read. Now, this leads me to study. This is a third level. You can hear it with no effort at all. Just sit, listen, and move on.
In a very short period of time, in that little segment, he covered so much stuff that is so common in the ecumenical mindset of today. Number one, in the modern-day ecumenical movement, it's all about finding a Bible that works for you. Not what thus saith the Lord, but a Bible that works for you. I find a problem with that. Because if I found a Bible that worked for me, I probably would go for a so-called modern translation because they're so soft on sin, it wouldn't make me feel convicted about sin. But the King James Bible is not going to sit back and give you a nice soft pillow to rest your head on, believing that you're okay in your sin. Second, he says, don't get involved in the debate over which Bible is the only Bible. What is he talking about? Why don't he want people to look into what you're listening to right now? That's what I'd like to know. Thirdly, did you notice the slight attack against the King James Bible in code? When you were young, you had a Bible with pictures in it. How many of you, when you were younger, had King James Bibles that had pictures in it? And I want you to notice, he's talking to a grown-up crowd in front of him, and he says, some of you now have Bibles with pictures in it. Put it on the shelf. You don't think these grown-ups are carrying around children's Bibles? What do you think he's talking about? These are the little subtle attacks on the King James Bible. And it's uncalled for. Now that you know where these new Bibles come from, maybe he just doesn't know. I'm not attacking the man. I'm just letting you see some of the high-powered guns that are firing against the King James Bible. And whether they know or not, they are responsible for what the people hear based on what they teach. And if what they're teaching is wrong, somebody's got to stand up and say something. I like Chuck Swindoll. He's never done nothing wrong to me, you know, personally. But this doctrine, this find a Bible that works for you nonsense has got to stop. I need a Bible that says, thus saith the Lord, whether you like it or not, not user-friendly fluff Bible that's not going to give me the whole story, that's going to be translated from occultic and Roman Catholic manuscripts and all this stuff. Give me the real thing. And he also says, find a serious Bible. Well, obviously, Dr. Logsdon didn't think the New American Standard was a serious Bible, and he's the co-founder of it. He rejected it. I thought you should know. Now, I'm going to draw this message to a close with a couple of more things. When people say modern Bibles, they often think NIV, New American Standard, or New King James. Some of you are totally unaware of some of the other so-called modern Bibles that are out there, but the teenagers are and the young people are, and what they're trying to do is make custom-made Bibles for various different kinds of people. So what they have done in our modern day has been reducing the Bible down with each new version to being more and more and more irrelevant. Because all of these new versions contradict each other, speak over top of each other, that they don't agree with each other, and it just waters down the whole thing to where people say, you know, what does it matter what the Word of God says? Because you can't figure out which one is, unless you got a King James Bible and have done your homework and found out that the King James Bible is the Word of God in the English language. But in our modern day, that's not what they're doing. They're dumbing the Bible down. Ever heard of something called Revolve? Revolve is one of the so-called modern versions that have taken off like a rocket among teenagers. Thomas Nelson Publishers went out and focus grouped teenagers and asked them what they thought of the Bible. And they got back from the teenagers that they considered the Bible to be a freaky book, that they were too embarrassed to carry around in their bags. So Thomas Nelson Publishers, rather than getting these people's head on straight and letting them know about the sacrifices that was made to get us the King James Bible in our language, instead they decide to dumb the Bible down to the level of a magazine called Revolve and Refuel. Revolve magazine is supposed to be the entire New Testament, but they use what's called the New Century version. Now, if you remember earlier, I went through a list of things that have been omitted out of the Century version. Why would you want to trust that version as being your Bible? But even more, this Revolve, as they call it, and Refuel, which is the male version, which is marketed to males between the ages of 12 and 17. Revolve is marketed to females between the ages of 12 and 17. It doesn't look like a Bible. It doesn't read like a Bible. It looks like a magazine. If you put it on the shelf with a whole bunch of other magazines, you wouldn't be able to tell which one was supposed to be this supposed Bible, because it looks just like a magazine. Smiling faces on the cover, color schemes. On the inside, it has top 10 lists, David Letterman style top 10 lists. It has beauty secrets and advertisements and blabs and all kinds of weird stuff in a Bible. It makes a mockery out of the Word of God. And by Thomas Nelson Publisher's sister company called Transit Books, putting this thing in magazine form. Well, magazines, like a newspaper, has a short shelf life, which means they'll have to come out with Revolve 2, which they already have. And then there'll be Revolve 3 and Revolve 4 and Revolve 5, and they'll just keep on milking this until people finally get tired of it. That's another one of the so-called modern Bibles that's out here today, marketed to the kids. There's another out called Magnify. Looks like a comic book, marketed to the kids, luring the people, getting them further and further away from the true Word of God. And how long, my Christian friends, are we going to stand for this? How long are you going to sit back and say, okay, great, you know, another nice message and everything, but, you know, pass the NIV? It gets a little frustrating, folks. But at least I'm letting you know. I want to close this down with just a few verses from the Bible to let you see some things that have been changed as we conclude what our basic bottom line is. They told us there was no major difference between the King James Bible and the other versions. Well, let's take a look at some doctrinal passages very quick, and we'll shut this thing down, and I'll leave the ball in your court, and I'll walk off the field. The virgin birth. King James Bible says, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In the New Revised Standard, virgin is gone, replaced with young woman. In the New World Translation, which is the Jehovah's Witness version, virgin is also gone and replaced with maiden. Luke 2:33 says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That's what the King James Bible says. But the NIV says the child's father and mother. That's an attack on the virgin birth, folks. Joseph was not Jesus's literal father. The New American Standard Version also says his father. The New Revised Standard Version says the child's father. And the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, they just totally hate Jesus in that religion. They don't even give him the benefit of being proper. They put its father. They identified Jesus as it. Its father. How about preservation of the Word of God? The King James Bible in Psalms 12:6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Well, the new Bibles and the people behind them do not believe God promised to preserve his actual words, because if they did, they wouldn't be able to keep writing version after version after version after version. They wouldn't be able to. They could only come up with one translation per language. So in order to cover for themselves, they actually changed the verse of the Bible where God promised to preserve his word. Let's take a look. The NIV says, "You will keep us safe." The New American Standard reads, "Thou will preserve him." The New Revised Standard says, "You, O Lord, will protect us." The Living Bible says, "You will forever preserve your own." They completely removed a reference of God preserving his word to cover for themselves. Did Jesus have an origin? Did he originate? Or has he already always existed? The King James Bible reads, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of he shall he come forth. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." But not in the New Bibles. Nope. They strand Jesus, they trap him within the constraints of time, claiming that he has an origin within time. The New International Version reads, "From ancient times." The New Revised Standard reads, "From ancient days." The New World Translation reads, "From the days of time infinite." It doesn't make any sense. It says, "From everlasting." He didn't have a beginning. But not if you read these other versions. How about this one? "Who fell from heaven?" Well, the King James Bible in Isaiah 14:12 says, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Now, in Revelation 22, we are told that Jesus is the morning star. Revelation 22:16. Well, the NIV, New American Standard, New Revised Standard, and New World Translation has removed Lucifer from the verse altogether. As a matter of fact, most of the New Bible versions have removed the word Lucifer from the verse altogether. And what you'll find is in place of the word Lucifer, they places another set of words. The NIV replaces Lucifer with morning star. The New American Standard replaces Lucifer with Star of the Morning. New Revised Standard, Day Star. Now why, if they're claiming to make the Bibles easier to understand, would they take Lucifer's name out? Do you know this is the only passage in the entire Bible where the word Lucifer appears? So they take Lucifer completely out and replaces it with the words Morning Star, which if you cross-reference Morningstar, you will not run into Lucifer or Satan or any other variation on Satan's names. You'll instead run into Jesus. And for those who still want to say that this passage is talking about Lucifer, go down a couple of verses in Isaiah 14. The King James Bible says, "You shall be brought down to hell." The New Bible says, "You'll be brought down to the grave." Now, if Lucifer is a spirit, which he is, how do you put a spirit in a grave when a grave is a simple hole in the dirt? You can't put a spirit in a hole in the dirt. What these new Bibles are saying is that somebody came down from heaven, took on a body, and was cast down to the grave for wanting to be equal with God. And they said that one who did it was Morningstar, Jesus Christ. Who was the fourth man in Daniel 3:25? And the King James says, "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." We know it's Jesus that was there in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But not in the New Bibles. No, 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 no. They can't have that. The NIV says, a son of the gods. So does the New American Standard. So does the New Revised Standard, says a God. Now, I'm sure the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons love this way that the New Bibles have done it. Because Mormonism believes in many gods, and they believe that Jesus was conceived first in the heavens through a sexual relation between God the Father and one of his many goddess wives, that's what Mormonism teaches, and then on earth through an actual sexual relation between God the Father and Mary. That's Mormonism. Therefore, in Mormonism, Jesus will become a son of the gods. God the Father and his goddess wives. That fits Mormonism. But the King James Bible doesn't leave the door open for that kind of interpretation. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have mistranslated John 1:1 to read, the Word was a God. And you got here the New Revised Standard saying, a God. For Daniel 3:25. How about the blood of Christ? How about the blood of Christ? Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's what the King James Bible says, but not the NIV. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the blood removed. New American Standard reads the same way with the blood removed. The New Revised Standard reads the same way with the blood removed. The New World Translation, we have released by ransom the forgiveness of sins. Again, no blood. Why are they making the New Bibles agree with the Jehovah's Witness Bible? What's going on with that? What's going on with that? How about the corrupting of the Word of God? These men know they're corrupting the Word of God when they do this. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Well, instead of the word corrupting, the NIV uses peddling the Word of God. New American Standard, peddling the Word of God. New Revised Standard, peddlers. The New World Translation, peddlers. The New King James, peddling. I thought the New King James was supposed to be from the same manuscripts as the Old King James. Yet it's following along with the Jehovah's Witness Bible and the NIV and the New American Standard and the New Revised Standard. How about this one? Remember earlier Pastor Chuck Swindoll was talking about studying the Bible? Many of you are familiar with 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, you'll find that the New Bibles don't tell you to study. Look at this passage, 2 Timothy 2:15. NIV just says, do your best. The New American Standard says, be diligent. New Revised Standard says, do your best. The Living Bible says, work hard. New World Translation says, do your utmost. The New King James says, be diligent. What happened to study? What happened to study? You see, they know if you study, you're going to find out the things you're finding out right here in this message. They don't want you to find this out, so they don't want you to study it. Just a works program. Do your best. Be diligent. But don't study. You might learn the facts. These are just some of the games that are being played, folks. And I thought I'd let you know. There's a lot more, but I'm just going to leave it at this. You know, I don't think there's too much more to be said. There's a lot more to be said, in fact, but I don't want to drag it on too long. We've almost gone almost 2 hours already, so I'm going to cut it off here. But I hope you all understand now where the New Bibles come from. The fact that they told us there's no major difference between the King James Bible and other Bibles, yet we're finding out now there's major differences between the King James Bible and other Bibles. And I hope you gain strength from this message. For anybody out there who don't know the Lord, who've heard this message now, and you realize, okay, you've been carrying around a counterfeit Bible and you want to change, I want to let you know there's going to be those who are going to attack you the same way they attack me. There are going to be those who are going to put you down the same way they put me down, and others who stand for the King James Bible. But I challenge you to stand. Stand. This King James Bible has lasted nearly 400 years, and nobody's been able to topple it over, because God's Word is not going to change. God's Word is not going to pass away. New Bibles come, new Bibles go, God's Word remains. And in the English language, the King James Bible has proven to be God's Word in our language, because it remains. If you don't know the Lord and you'd like to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to understand we're all sinners. We all do wrong. But our sins can be forgiven if we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave His life for us on the cross. Every single one of us, for our sins, we deserve to die and go to hell. But the Lord loved us so much that He came to this earth as a man that we know as Jesus Christ, who was both God and man. He lived a life without sin and allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross for all of us, for you personally. And if you want to have your sins forgiven and to know that you can go to heaven, that you will go to heaven when you die, you pray and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to fill you with His Spirit, to come into your life and change you. Get yourself a King James Bible. Read it, study it, memorize as much as you can. And I want to add this as well. When you get a King James Bible, make sure you have a genuine King James Bible. Here are some things to check for. Titus 3:6. The word Savior should be spelled S-A-V-I-O-U-R. If you have a King James, make sure you have a King James that spells Savior with seven letters, not six. Some say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is this. If you have a genuine King James Bible, there was no six-letter word, S-A-V-I-O-R, during the writing of the King James Bible. They spelt Savior S-A-V-I-O-U-R. And if you look in some of the older dictionaries, you will see that S-A-V-I-O-U-R is written with the extra letter as a distinction to show that this word is talking about Jesus Christ, while the S-A-V-I-O-R can be anybody who saves somebody's life. The S-A-V-I-O-U-R is a distinctive word used as the Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to save our souls. Another thing to look for, 1 John 5:7. If they have removed the Trinity from 1 John 5:7, if it doesn't read, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, if that's been taken out, you have a fake Bible. If they have a footnote in there that says, this doesn't belong in the Bible, or this was added earlier, or the oldest manuscripts do not contain it, or something like that, I've already warned you about what they mean when they say the oldest manuscripts. They're talking about the counterfeits. Okay, so make sure the Trinity is in there. One thing I tell people is when you're looking for a King James Bible, try to find the oldest King James Bible you can find, even if that means you've got to go to an old bookstore and find yourself an old King James Bible. If you can get one that doesn't have the footnotes in it, that's even better. The Bible answers itself. You don't need some man to tell you what the Bible means. The King James Bible answers itself. Stay away from Bibles put together by Thomas Nelson Publishers, by Zondervan Publications, by the International Bible Society, or the American Bible Society. These are four organizations that are strongly pushing the counterfeit Bibles. You want to stick with the genuine, authorized King James Bible. You also want to stay away from what's called the KJ21 or the so-called updated King James. You want to stay away from what they call the New Scofield. These are all counterfeit King James Bibles put together by these companies because they know there's money in the King James Bible. They don't want to do the regular King James. They want to put their changes in it. They want to create doubt in people's minds about the King James Bible. So they put footnotes in there and they put other things in there to cause you to doubt God's Word. We live in a very deceptive time. So I want you all to be prepared, know what's out there, and be warned beforehand. Find the oldest King James Bible you can find. If it doesn't have any footnotes in it, that's even better. Let the Holy Spirit of God teach you what His Word is. This Bible has lasted nearly 400 years and is still going strong. That's about it, folks. I hope you all have taken in this information. That just about does it for me. And until we meet again, this has been the Underground Christian Network.